This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Rhys Crosby. If you enjoy football, and brotherly banter, be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys.
Here's some stories from my NFL playing days, goofy conversations about everyday life, giving you entertaining lessons on the pitches across the pond, fun, relatable guests, and what it means to live life on purpose.
New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday. Be sure to subscribe to Kicking It with the Crosbys on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Coming up in 1 hour, the top five at five with Honest Jack, the sentient AI version of Jack, because we don't have Jack this week. He is on paternity leave. And Honest Jack is an AI version of Jack. They can't lie. Only tell us the truth. So we find out what Jack is really thinking. Big news from yesterday. Jack has blocked me on Twitter. Has not unblocked me, by the way. And have not heard from him about it. He has not said one thing to me about it, about blocking me on Twitter.
He definitely knows we talked about it yesterday.
Oh, come on. You know he does. Because he gets, even if he decides, he always says he doesn't listen.
Of course he does.
Because he doesn't want things to make him mad or whatever. But you know he gets text messages.
Yes.
About it.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
So we all love Elliot Shore Parks. We love the Go Birds podcast. Elliot was talking yesterday about the Eagles cap situation on the pod and mentioned two Eagles vets that the Eagles could think about extending. Here's who he talked about.
So I think it's a great point by you. The other name I would throw out there is Chauncey Gardner-Johnson. He got a below market deal last year. He had an awesome year this year. And I would kind of compare both of them a little bit to the Hassan Reddick situation.
Yes.
Hassan Reddick had the 1 year on his deal, had an unbelievable year, wanted a new deal, didn't happen. So, like, they're kind of like that with Saquon and Chauncey. Now, with Saquon, you know, I kind of think they're at the mercy of whatever Saquon wants. Like, I just can't imagine them saying no to Saquon. But Saquon also got almost $30 million guaranteed last year. So he was well paid last year. Chauncey is a different situation. Like, Chauncey got $10 million guaranteed last year. You could argue he already earned all that in 1 year. He has a very low base salary. And I don't know, like, Chauncey's always, to me, felt like someone that feels he is viewed less than he actually is, both around the league, and I would imagine that correlates to his pay as well. So those are two to look at. And the other one we haven't brought up, Cam Jurgens is eligible for an extension. So, like, outside of just the free agents, they got a lot of people on the roster that are due for big money extensions. So that's why that $20 million cap number sounds like a lot. But it quickly starts chipping away when you realize all the things that happened.
So that was in the morning show, not Go Birds pod. That is on me. The Cam Jurgens, you extend, whatever. He's going to be the center here for the next 10 years.
You know, he's having back surgery.
Oh, is he having surgery?
Right?
I didn't see that.
I think I saw something where it said he just had it.
I did not see that.
I think he had it either yesterday or today out in Los Angeles.
Well, then maybe you give him a 2-year extension. But Cam Jurgens, at his age, mm-hmm. you know, at his position.
Make sure I'm looking at that, right?
I heard Landon Dickerson was going to have surgery. I didn't see that Cam Jurgens was going to have back surgery. I wonder what that surgery is, actually. CJGJ.
Yeah, here it is.
Okay.
He had surgery on his back this week to heal nerves, I guess, that was bothering him.
Yeah.
That's what was bothering him. I don't know if it was some pinched nerve or what have you.
Yeah. Well, what normally happens is when you have a disc hernia. So, you know, people talk about herniated discs all the time. Most people have some sort of herniated disc in their back. It's when that disc ends up touching nerves mm-hmm. is when it causes that problem. And by the way, as someone who has experienced that pain for a lot of time, like when you have nerve pain in your lower back from a herniated disc,
yeah.
you can't forget playing football.
Right.
I couldn't tie my shoes, couldn't put pants on, couldn't bend over, can't concentrate on anything. And it's usually, they usually try not to do surgery on you, but when you're a professional athlete, you know, that's going to. CJGJ.
Sounds like it might be minor, so it doesn't sound, he should be ready for training camp.
CJGJ, I don't know you need to give more money to CJGJ, do you?
Well, only if he's asking for it.
Well, he's got two more years left on his contract.
Oh, does he?
Yeah, he sent a three-year deal, three-year $17 million deal with 10 guaranteed. So
10 guaranteed?
10 guaranteed. I don't know. CJGJ is a really good player. Glad I have him on the team. He's one of those guys that, like, I don't know, he's under contract.
He's a vibes guy. Well, he's not going anywhere.
Yeah.
I guess it's more about keeping the vibes right.
Right.
Because I'm telling you, that's what happened after that Super Bowl. Some guys got paid. Some guys didn't get paid that thought they should have gotten paid. And one of them was Nelson Agholor.
Oh, he thought he should have gotten paid?
Coming off that Super Bowl year.
Yeah.
Like, and they gave contract. Remember, they wound up bringing in D-Jack the year after that. Like, so I'm just saying, Malcolm didn't get a new contract.
I remember
that. Like,
yep.
He didn't get a new contract. So they wound up giving some guys new contracts, and then some guys didn't. And you wonder, does that mess with the chemistry in a locker room? I know they can't pay everybody, but this is the type of stuff that happens that derails repeats.
Well, then you have to think about the guys that you're not paying, and there you don't want a squeaky wheel gets the grease with all this. But CJGJ is a guy.
I completely agree.
As far as Saquon goes, I don't know. Give him $100 million.
I think that's one we all agree on. Like, yeah, if he wants a new deal, find a way to give him one.
There are very few athletes in this city who could publicly say they would want a new deal and everybody would support them.
Right.
Saquon is one of those guys.
This would be the year he should do it if he's going to do it.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I wonder. Yeah, you never know, man. Because I started seeing graphics, right, where people were saying Saquon is being paid what the 25th highest wide receiver is being paid.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, that's the
right,
scale.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Like, but in his mind, he's like, well, okay, that's okay if you're not the focal point of the offense.
Right. Well, I thought Elliot did make, on Go Birds, was talking about the cap thing. Mm-hmm. One thing you do have to be careful about, and this was a smart thing he said, is when you pay somebody a contract, you're paying them for what they will do, not what they have done. Right?
That's the way it should be.
That's the way it should be.
Yes.
The thing about, look, and Saquon is a different guy, but you would be paying him for what he did. And you have a running back at his age that you just paid. Look, I'm saying give Saquon whatever he wants, but at his age, who just had 400 touches, is like, if you're talking about from a money strategic standpoint, paying Saquon more when you have him under contract for the next 2 years, where chances are, I hope he's good for more than two more years, but, you know, odds are these are going to be the best 3 years he has left, you know, and we might have just seen the best one. You're paying for past performance if you're paying Saquon.
Sure.
You know.
You also, this is a... I would think this is a guy they would want to be an ambassador for this organization moving forward.
For a long time.
So that's what I'm saying. Like, that matters also. Here's the good thing. To this point, no, Saquon hasn't asked for anything, so
yes,
he might be happy with his contract. I don't know.
Well,
his agent may not be.
Yeah, I was going to say, give me Saquon's number. I'll get him unhappy.
His agent may be thinking differently.
Yeah.
I'll say this.
Like, do you know what Bryce Huff made?
I was going to say, exactly. I'll say this.
Do you know what Paul George is making?
As a piece of advice to Saquon, whatever you do, just handle it behind closed doors.
Right.
As long as it's not public or anything, if it happens, great, be great. And the Eagles announced they restructured your deal or whatever, that's fine. But what fans don't want to hear is that you're not happy with your contract and you want a new deal.
Right.
Because I guarantee you, I'm thinking... Well, he's not T.O., but this is what happened with T.O. after the Super Bowl.
Well, and the truth is I think everybody would be okay now, but what you don't want to do is put a target on yourself for next year. If the guy in the second game has a hamstring and it, you know, it's there all year, and you're like, we just gave this guy, blah, 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 blah. So, but he is not a guy who would publicly, I can't imagine in any world Saquon Barkley would publicly be asking for an extension.
Yeah.
He doesn't seem like the kind of guy.
Well, we're the ones who brought it up.
Right. Yes.
Yeah. We're the ones who are talking about extension.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Yeah. We're the ones who brought it up.
So speaking of Saquon, we're talking about whether his season this year was the best individual Philadelphia sports season of the last 50 years. I'm going to bring up two to you. We've talked about a bunch of them. Most people are saying yes. So I don't think anyone would put this above Saquon's, but it should be mentioned is McNabb in 04. So
yeah.
Donovan was third team All-Pro. Had through 31 touchdown passes altogether, including and led the team to the Super Bowl in that year. So that was, you know,
he threw 31 touchdown passes in 14 games.
Right, yeah. Right. That Donovan's year that year, if you're going to look at single greatest, you know, Eagles quarterback years, you have Vic's almost MVP, you have that McNabb, you have Wentz in 17, and you have Jalen in 22.
And you got Foles in.
Oh, yeah.
You want to put his 27
and 2. Yeah. And then the other one, dude, Reggie White in 1987, the Eagles were only 7-8, but the they only played 15 games.
Strike year,
that's right. Yeah. They only played 12 games that year, White. He had 21 sacks in 12 games.
It's incredible. Dude, so it's not even, doesn't even seem real.
Reggie White, it's a shame that young people couldn't see Reggie White play.
And that was his first year.
He could be the single most dominant player in Philadelphia sports history, Reggie White. Like the best player. He's probably the best defensive end in NFL history. Yeah.
Yeah, not probably, yes.
Definitely the best defensive end in NFL history.
Some argue he's the best defensive player between he and Lawrence Taylor.
I was going to say LT.
They usually get argued about who's the greatest defensive player ever.
Dude, 21 sacks in 12 games is almost 2 sacks a game.
Yeah, it was.
Can you imagine that?
It's unheard of. Like I said, it doesn't even seem real.
I don't think they recorded pressures back then. You know, like we all love pressures
now. We love pressures,
Can you imagine how many pressures Reggie White had if he had 21 sacks in 12 games?
At least 20 more.
Just that the combination of speed and power and all that. Mike in Oxford, you're on WIP. What's up, Mike?
Hi, guys. Great. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes,
guys, you're a great team to listen to on a daily basis. I'm glad you just brought up Reggie White. I think it's important to recognize and admire the past history of true greatness. And I think often fans of today really don't know the history behind not only individual players, but also the Eagles as an organization. I think it's Saquon's year sits at the pinnacle. But I think right there is, if you look back when the Phillies last won the World Series in 2008 with Brad Lidge, he was perfect.
So that and he was perfect through the playoffs as well. Did not blow a save all year.
Yeah. Exactly.
Brad Lidge is a good one. Yeah.
And I think, you know, paralleling that, those levels of performance is what we're actually looking at. And when you're looking at, you know, when you brought up Reggie, you know, there were great players back then with Bruce Smith, some great, great players.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember Reggie when he was playing in the USFL for the Memphis Showboats before the Eagles even got him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he was tremendous then.
Yep.
And,
yeah, Reggie White,
you know,
yeah, 33 sacks in college, I believe.
Yeah.
He was great at Tennessee.
At Tennessee, exactly. You know, as so many people don't realize, talking about even the Eagles' history with Vic Fangio. Fangio was the USFL, the Philadelphia Stars defense coordinator under Jim Mora. He was phenomenal.
Yeah.
And he had Sam Mills as his middle linebacker.
Yeah.
They had tremendous linebacking core. John Bunning was part of that linebacking group with the Stars.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they went to the USFL championship 3 out of 3 years and won it twice with Kelvin Bryant and Chuck Fucina was their quarterback. I mean, they had great teams, and recognizing how important individual performance built within the concept of team is so important. And, you know, I think people kind of just oftentimes paint it with a broad brush without recognizing how unique this Super Bowl team is. And they were phenomenal, absolutely phenomenal, because they were truly unselfish.
Yes, yeah, and I think they also, not from a gameplay standpoint, but from I guess from like a vibe standpoint, they had so many weird ups and downs this year. Mm-hmm. You know, they had so many moments. It wasn't. The Lions were 15-2. I didn't hear a peep out of the Lions. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But there were a lot of peeps out of the Eagles. And you can maybe blame WIP a little bit for that. But also, I think, we have a sports station in Detroit, too. Trust me, if there was something to blow up out there, they would have blown it up.
Yeah.
It was a very singular season.
They didn't get any adversity into that playoff game.
No, just injuries.
Just dealt with injuries, yeah.
I mean, their injury list was huge.
Yep.
When you really look at how many players, in essence, even when they played against the Washington, they were playing their number threes against everybody else's number ones.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
I mean, it was a miracle they got to that game to begin with.
Well,
I mean, when you look at playoffs. The Rams were the toughest.
The toughest team we faced.
When you really think about it,
yeah, for sure. I think that honestly, the Lions playoff, the Lions Super Bowl was really that Minnesota game to win the division.
Yeah,
you know that was their most impressive moment.
Last game of the year.
Yeah,
the last game of the year.
It was last or next to last, and they had all those injuries defensively, and they demolished Minnesota. Mike, do you have somebody? It's Charles Barkley's birthday, so we're looking for somebody for next question today, for somebody who had a great second act. Who do you got?
Yes, definitely, and it's interesting. Thing Charles has brought up, because I saw Charles play in college at Auburn. A buddy of mine went to Auburn, and one spring break I went down there to see Charles play in college with Chuck Persons. They were playing against Alabama.
The Rifleman.
And again, their stud was Bobby Lee. I still have that guy's name in my head. The person who I think had a great second and third act is John Madden. John Madden was actually drafted by the Eagles.
That's a
good
one.
Never played for the Eagles.
Yep.
Coached with the Raiders, and then
we know he became John Madden,
the voice of the NFL.
Greatest color guy of all time. And also, thank you for the call, Mike. Also, the video game lives on forever.
Mount Rushmore video games.
John Madden's a good one. Did
That's
have three acts.
Very
now,
good one.
The first act is a player. He wasn't a
never
good
really
player.
Happened.
Yeah, I'm only going to give him two acts on that. I'll give him credit for two acts.
Yeah.
The Brad Lidge one, I hadn't even thought of. I don't know what it is. I don't put Brad Lidge on the same. Maybe it's because he's a closer.
It is because he's a closer.
And
because he was perfect.
Yeah.
Mr. Perfect that year.
And because it was a closer, and because it was really only that year. And I know we're only talking about 1 year, but there's something about, what's his name? Yankees.
Which one? Mariano Rivera?
Rivera.
Yeah.
There's something about him being dominant every year that made it feel like he was better.
Brad Lidge, he won't win it, but he is on the list of great individual season. Yes, he was perfect. And we won a World Series.
Yes. If only we had perfect relievers this past year. Maybe
we could have got out of that first round.
You know, coming up next, Trey Turner talked about hitting leadoff. Let me, for a couple minutes here.
Oh, we're going baseball? Next,
yeah, just a little bit.
All right.
We'll get back to Saquon, I promise.
I'm good with it.
Let me ask you this before we get to the Trey thing.
Yeah.
What do you expect out of the Phillies this year? Like I'm confused about what the expectations actually are, and I go back and forth on it.
Okay, here's my honest expectation for the Phillies. NLCS versus the Dodgers.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So you think you're expecting championship level, maybe not the best team in the baseball as they were.
Right, that's the Dodgers.
But NLCS level.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
I think they're the best of the rest. I got the Dodgers up here, and I think we should be the best of the rest.
So going into the season, because that surprises me from you. So going into it, if they're not, like, you're holding that as the standard. So if they're not good enough, you will say, hey, this is not good.
Oh, for sure.
Enough.
Yes, sir.
Because I feel like Jack, I'm not teasing Jack, but Jack is setting it up as,
Yeah, we're not going for that.
This isn't a year, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, that's all about self-preservation.
Okay. Because I'm
that's
torn.
Jack wanting a soft landing
for the Phillies.
He understands Eagles have won a title. Right. Marquette, you guys won a title. Like, we got to get, I need you to get him out of that.
Yeah, I think I'm going to do
gotta
that.
Get him out of that mode of lowering the bar for the Phillies. I mean, my goodness, you talk about the Phillies 25-8. That's more than 24-7 for everybody.
Yes.
Yes. Well, I knew you understood what I was saying for some people.
Yeah.
Yes. So you talk about them all the time. How can you not expect them to do more? Now, granted, not better than the Dodgers. They may not even be better than the Braves.
Right. But good enough.
Yeah, but it's not like the Braves are head and shoulders better than you are. Like, come on, man.
So I needed this talk, right? Because you can't. Jack, boy, you're walking back into the hellfire.
Hey, he won't take another day off, I tell you that.
Well, you can't say Lizardo was a great acquisition and Max Kepler is a great acquisition and then have a team that had the second best record in the National League last year and not go in this year and say the expectation is the World Series. The expectation has to be the World Series. Like, the understanding what the Dodgers are, let's put them to the side for a second. But a team that can compete for the World Series, I need to go into this year, and I'm going to spend the next week and a half doing this. Maybe we do some of this tomorrow. I need to spend the next week and a half before we get to Clearwater getting in the mindset that this is not just a, oh, they can't do it year. This is a, it's just like last year. You have to do it.
Have to. Come on, man. All this talent, all this money that's been spent.
Still spending.
You got a damn good pitching rotation, if not the best in baseball, one of them.
You want Bryce Harper wants an extension, Kyle Schwarber wants an extension,
right.
JT Realmuto wants an extension.
Yep.
Like, what are we talking about here?
Yeah, let's put it on the table.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Yeah.
Let's go.
All right.
Let's go.
So, it looks like Trey Turner will hit leadoff.
Start with him.
Yeah.
Start with Trey Turner.
So, we'll hear him next talk about hitting leadoff, which it looks like he's going to do. Also, continue the conversation about Saquon, whether this is the best individual Philadelphia season over the last 50 years. I have another one I'm going to throw at you next as well. 215-592-9494. It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. It's a WIP Afternoon Show. Ike, Spike, and Fritz coming up in a half an hour. The top 5 and 5 with Honest Jack. Jack Fritz not in with us this week as he is on paternity leave. So we have his AI duplicate who cannot tell a lie. Honest Jack will do the top 5 of 5. It was eventful last time. We will get to what Trey Turner said about hitting leadoff in a moment. Before that, my computer is frozen. No, here it is. Chris from Middletown, you're on WIP. What's up, Chris?
Good afternoon, Ike, Spike, and Napping Jack.
Yep. Tweeting Jack. Yeah.
Spike, are you going to change his name on the show to Jack the Camera since, you know, he only works part-time now?
Oh, no. Nah. And when he's here, he's here.
This is the time of the year Joe D starts to take off.
Take his days off,
yes.
His Fridays. Yeah, I would not put... I would love to tease Jack and make him agitated, but putting him in the same category as the camera from
that low.
Yeah, from a days off category feels like a low blow.
All right. I just wonder, too, maybe if it was part of his plan, like he's just trying to buy time that he doesn't have to talk about anything else other than the Phillies and he comes back for that. But
I believe that's part of it.
Yeah, but I think if the Eagles let me ask you this, Chris. If the Eagles lost in the Super Bowl and Jalen Hurts threw 3 interceptions, do you think Jack would be off this week? Do we really think Jack would be off this week? Is that what we think?
He told Sutton he has to wait.
Yeah, well, victory lap Jack, you know?
To be fair, I think he'd have a partner running laps with him there, Spike, you know?
Yeah, maybe. But I'm here, you know?
I know you are, brother. I know you are. Guys, quick on the Cam Jurgens thing. I think personally this sounds like, sounds like you had this. I know I had the surgery on my back, like a microdiscectomy.
Yep.
You know, not that major. You know, he'll be back. So I'm not really worried about it. I do want to, you know, say that I do think Saquon did have the best season in 50 years. I was tempted to say ever in Eagles career, and then I heard you guys talking about Reggie White, and I did have a privilege watching him. Yeah, man, that guy was on his own different planet. As much as Saquon is, that guy did it for a very, very long time.
Well, Reggie was within 50 years.
Was he?
Yes. 50 years goes back to 1975.
Yeah, I'm 47 and I watched him. Yeah. Look, I'm not very good at math.
Yeah.
So, maybe I take that back then. Second. So, But, you know, we got to give Saquon his shine, though, because, I mean, he did come from the greatest university in the country. And the greatest conference in the world. You know, that's the Big Ten. You know, Ike and Corey know what I'm talking about.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Who I want, guys, the Cleveland thing is not going to happen, but who I would love to get, I want Max Crosby. Max just signed a deal, and he signed a cheap deal, so you're not going to have to necessarily redo his deal because he just got one. I'd rather go get him. And listen, the delegation needs another brother, okay? The Exciting Whites know what I'm talking about. We need Max Crosby.
Load him up.
Yeah, we might be at our limit right now, to be honest.
No, man, it's a good time. Listen, we're going to add. No, Max Crosby would be a good one to add. I'm on board with that. Yeah.
So they're going to trade Crosby? Is that the understanding? Do people assume that the Raiders are going to trade Max Crosby? Yeah.
Yeah. Doesn't seem like something Pete Carroll would do.
Yeah. I mean, defensive coach comes in. And by the way,
that's your best defensive player.
It's not like Pete Carroll is 38 years old. The guy's 72 or something. He's got to win now. I don't know why they would trade Max Crosby unless they can get some enormous haul that they can build from. But man, I don't understand why they would trade him.
They don't have anything. Like, what are they building? They need a lot. They need a lot of things. So, I do have an answer for you, so I'm ready for you.
For second act, So it's Charles's birthday. By the way, I haven't mentioned this in a bit. The winner today for next question gets a $150 gift card from Wild Fork Foods, your number one choice for high quality meats and seafood without breaking the bank. All right, who had a great second act?
So I'm going to nominate a caller too. The guy that said John Madden, I was going to say that. I don't think that's beatable, but here's another great one. Dick Vermeil, he coached the Eagles to their first Super Bowl, did take a 15-year break from the NFL, came back, and won a Super Bowl with the Rams.
Yeah. That's a good one. I will give you credit on that one.
Yeah, coach, now, that's a good second act.
Now, Chris, I want you to hang on for a second here, because we got a note that you I think you called the midday show, and you were angling again for Eagles Insider of the Year. So let's play that audio real quick, Fran, and then we'll get Chris's reaction.
And I'm going to leave you with, I'm going to break some news on your show.
Okay, let's hear it. Yeah, we're ready. All ears.
Zach Bond is going to sign a 3-year contract, and it will be announced before free agency.
Chris in Middletown with sources. Chris Sources over here.
What's that? The Insider of the Year?
Well, you know what? If you hit that, if it's 3 years before the start of free agency, we will tell the afternoon show, Chris, good phone call, that you Insider of the Year, a late entry.
If I'm not mistaken, Chris's track record this season was a little spotty.
Yeah, and there's a reason why he's not currently in the Insider of the Year power rankings. But, I mean, you know, there's always a way to change that. You get something right.
All right. So, two things. First of all, of course he's going to sign a 3-year deal. But the second thing is, I don't think they can sign him before a free agency because he's a free agent.
No, they can.
Can they?
Yeah.
Even though
he's their player.
But he's not their player anymore.
He is until free agency starts.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So they could just extend him.
There's a window that they can sign him. There's a window there where they can't sign him.
Okay. You're going to need, Insider Chris, you're going to need numbers.
I
got all the numbers for you, but I just want to say this. I did officially tell Jack, you can remove me. I don't want the shine of Insider.
But
I will give you a number, Spike.
Okay.
It's going to be $20 million or very close to $20 million guaranteed.
All right, but what is the guarantee? What's the total number?
3 year 30.
Okay. Yeah. He's
it's in the ball.
I've seen people do this. This is
in the ballpark.
Listen, and again, this is to be discussed off air.
Yeah.
But, and I told Jack he had to vault this, so I don't ever want to share it on the air. But there's another huge one that no one's talked about that I texted Jack. You could ask him. He'll go through the details.
No, okay.
All right. There he is, Chris from Middletown. Thank you, Chris. So.
I think we all can guess that it's probably going to be a 3-year deal.
Yeah. Yes. Congratulations, Chris. Thanks for breaking the news. It's unbelievable. Eddie doesn't want any credit for it. So the Phillies are going to try a new lineup this year with Trey Turner leading off. Kyle Schwarber, I assume, hits fourth. We hit Bohm third, Bryce Harper hitting second, even though Bryce is not super thrilled with that, but he'll do it because he's a team guy.
Anywhere from 2 to 4.
He will hit wherever they want as long as it's between 2 and 4. So one-third of the lineup he will hit. So here's what Trey Turner had to say about hitting leadoff.
Rob said a couple times this offseason that he's talking about hitting the wall. Your reaction to that?
Yeah, I like it. I've always hit one or two for the most part of my career. Hit a little three, but one or two early on. And, I think it would be fun, be a little different. I've been in a tool for a few years now, but kind of get back to a little bit more speed and have that aspect of being.
Do you think you could run more if you're hitting leadoff and Bryce is hitting directly behind you?
Yeah. I've run a lot more. I've said that a lot in my career in general. I could have run a lot more throughout my entire career, but it's more about scoring runs. I don't really care about stealing the base. It's more about scoring the runs. So, I think at times in the last few years, and even when I played in Washington, L.A., there was times where, I could steal base, but I got to stay there to let, those guys hit, and that's part of the game. And definitely could steal more. I'm not going to act like I could steal 70, 80 bases or anything like that, but, there's a handful of times where the opportunity's there, and for a stolen base specifically, but that's not always the right play, I guess.
So I love stealing bases. I think stealing bases is one of the, like, as an offense, if you have the pitcher and the defense worried about you taking an extra base, mm-hmm. it can affect the entire, like, you can change the entire course of a game by stealing one base at the right time. Trey Turner is certainly fast. I appreciate them trying something. The Trey Turner I've watched, now I've only watched one everyday season of Trey Turner, and that is last year. Mm-hmm. Like watching every single game. Trey Turner does not seem like a leadoff hitter to me. Mm-hmm.
What is a leadoff hitter?
Well, a leadoff hitter works, counts, prioritizes getting on base as opposed to power. Like he seems sort of like, he's a weird guy because watching him, I wouldn't expect his numbers to look as good as they do at the end of the year because he's a sort of a frustrating player to watch. Mm-hmm. He just doesn't seem like a guy who's going to get up there and work counts and take a walk over a hit, so he can get on base. That just doesn't scream Trey Turner to me. Now, it doesn't scream leadoff hitter. It screams leadoff hitter to me more than Kyle Schwarber does. It's a neat thing the Kyle Schwarber hitting leadoff thing does. I don't know.
Do you think there's a leadoff hitter on the team?
I don't know.
Well,
yeah. I mean, that's the thing is that they're trying to. Like I said at the beginning, I appreciate them trying stuff.
Right.
I do think Bryce Harper is a better, if he was tasked with that job, would do a better job at it than Trey Turner would, mm-hmm. Because he's a better hitter than Trey Turner is. Mm-hmm. Even Alec Bohm is a better hit. Like, just his numbers aren't as good, but if you told him get up there, work pitches, he's just way too slow. I get it. I understand it. I don't know how much of a difference it's going to make. Now, if his approach is changed, all that stuff they talked about, he could be, right? I mean, he's a good hitter. He hasn't always been a power hitter in his career. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying that the Trey Turner that I've watched is not a leadoff hitter.
Yeah, and I don't know if he's a natural leadoff hitter, but again, like you say, it depends on what they're trying to do with this lineup.
Right.
For years, people with Schwarber being up there as a leadoff guy. And then last year, Schwarber didn't hit as many home runs, but he certainly walked a lot more, and his on-base percentage was a lot higher. But then you get on the base paths, and do you clog up the bases?
Right.
Trey Turner talking about not being able to run. Well, part of that is who's in front of him.
Well, we had the same conversation with Bohm about Bohm not being a cleanup mm-hmm. hitter. But then you say, well, but then what are you going to do? If you put Bryce there, then Bryce has nobody. Castellanos behind him. You mm-hmm. don't want that.
And they do the whole lefty righty thing.
Right. Well,
you can never forget about how important that is.
Oh yes.
God forbid if we ever put back to back righties or back to back lefties.
How would we ever survive? Great hitter. If they're good hitters, they're good hitters.
That's the way I've always looked at it. You know what? Here's what I hope. I hope they stick with it for a while.
Yep, I'm with you on that one.
Hope they stick with it because this could be something where Trey feels comfortable being back in that spot. There's a sense of responsibility being the leadoff guy. Maybe this gets him locked back in
mm-hmm.
to where he knows. Because it's almost as if Trey Turner, the 2 years he's been here, as if he's almost had to be covered up, or, you know, the whole standing ovation thing. I guess he appreciated it, but I'm sure it was embarrassing to him, like he's some charity case when this guy has been an all-star player and a World Series champion. Like, it's been messing with him the 2 years that he's been here. He started off as the leadoff guy and it only lasted 20 games, I believe, the first time around. They had to move him because Schwarber maybe didn't like being where he was, so they put him up there. If they stick with it, this could be something good for Trey Turner. Now,
give him an identity.
Yeah. You know, it's like, okay, they got me in the leadoff spot. Now they're doing this because they feel confident in me. I can start to get my mojo back, my swagger back.
And maybe he doesn't try to hit as many home runs, right. Honestly. You know, right. And maybe it fixes him. All right, you talk me into it.
There we go.
Yeah. 215-592-9494.
That's what happens to the people that's known me on hold waiting.
Yes. See, now I know. Now I know the issue. All right, show over. I'm talked into it. There we go. You know, Ike knows two things, talking me into stuff and meat. That's the other thing he knows.
Come on, man.
Well, it's true. Talk about meat.
That's
before
a
we get
segue
back to
there.
The phones.
No, you're right. You're right. Yeah. Now that the parade is over, we can talk about more meat.
Yep.
Tackle your family's menu with the official hot dog of the Philadelphia Eagles from Dietz & Watson. Fire up that grill with perfectly smoked premium Franks and sausages from Dietz & Watson. Parties and lunches are always better with condiments, freshly sliced meats, artisan cheeses, and Dietz nuts meat snacks. You heard that right. Dietz Nuts Meat Snacks. Free from Dietz & Watson. Head to DietzandWatson.com to find the local retailer near you. Dietz & Watson. It's a family thing.
By the way, now that we're talking about Trey, do you have the Steve Cohen audio there? So Steve Cohen was on the podcast with
Howie Rose.
With Howie Rose, the play-by-play guy for the Mets.
The first time you said that, I was like, why was Steve Cohen on a podcast with Howie
Roseman? Yeah, with Howie Rose. And he was actually talking about the Trey Turner standing ovation thing. Steve Cohen, owner of the Mets. Here's what he had to say.
I'm asking the fans for a little patience. I'm asking the fans and, you know, everybody that, you know, watches the Mets to embrace these young players. And it was pretty fascinating that the situation with Trey Turner last year, where he got off to a really bad start and the fans gave him a standing ovation at a game right at the.
And this is in Philadelphia.
This is in Philadelphia, right? Which is like, wow. OK, you wouldn't expect it from them. And then he went, and right there, it turned around his season. Players, you know, they get in funks, and sometimes they're adjusting the new surroundings. And so I'm asking the fans, to give our young players a chance, and our new players a chance, and let's see how the season develops. And I think we're going to be pleasantly surprised where how we end up.
So the Trey Turner standing ovation thing. Mm. Is it's just one moment that will never happen again. Do you know what I mean? Like I
are you sure about that?
Well, I think
won't happen for Trey Turner again.
I think pointing to it as an example of fans. I think fans, and you made this point because some of the younger fans, if you're 30 years old or 35 years old, you're generally more positive because you've lived through the Eagles have been good
pretty much good times.
Yeah, most of your entire life, the Eagles have been good and they've won two Super Bowls. The Phillies have been good for half of your life and won a World Series and been to three.
Three of them. Yep.
Even the Sixers have not won, but like over the last 10 years have at least been
good basketball.
Good and interesting most of the time. So you mentioned that you just think the fans are not jaded the way that the older ones like me are because they didn't go through this. So that is part of it. But like you can't ask for Steve Cohen asking for the fans to be that way.
I agree.
That's not how it works.
No.
It just works because everyone wanted it to happen at that moment, and it was a moment.
Yeah.
And what I mean by it'll never happen again is like it just has to happen.
Yeah.
It can't just be an attitude toward, hey, we're always just going to be positive, because then I don't think that's good either. I don't think cheering everyone when they suck is a great idea either.
I agree.
It was just one moment, you know, with a new guy who was struggling and it caught fire, and that's what it is.
I totally agree. I was on a podcast the other day talking about fans here. It was when I was down at the in Millville.
Okay.
At the Elks Club.
Yep.
And I was just talking about the appreciation for fans and why fans should never change and how unique the fans are in this area, Philadelphia sports fans, how they hold their players accountable, how they hold the teams accountable. The teams and the players may not like the feeling of that in the moment, but I guarantee you when they get a chance to step back away from it, those that took it for what it was intended to be will appreciate it. Because all you really did was force them to be their very best. As, instead of relaxing on their laurels, resting on their laurels, resting on your money that you've made, and not caring about what the fans care about. The fans here care about effort. They care that you care. And they want to win. That's what fans want. They're going to support you. They're going to support you. Like, but that's what they want in return for that. And when they get that in return for that, you as a franchise or as players, you get showered and covered in praise and undaunted loyalty. And don't mistake criticism for being disloyal.
Right.
Because the fans are the loyal ones. These are the ones that are here for decades upon decades.
The one, the ones booing when it's bad are the ones you should care about the most.
Yes,
The loyal ones aren't the ones that say everything that you do is good.
Yes.
Most of those fans aren't around when the team stinks. All they know is when they're good, right? And I guarantee you, like Steve Cohen, like you don't get the patient thing. And if you're you and your team went to the NLCS last year and you just signed the biggest free agent in baseball history, I guarantee you if Juan Soto in June is hitting 246 with six home runs, they're going to friggin' boo him. Yeah. He's not getting a standing ovation.
No, they're not giving Juan Soto a standing ovation. No. That's not happening.
No.
And by the way, I wouldn't have learned about the fans the way I feel I know them now if I didn't do this. This has allowed me to appreciate fans a lot more and understand where they come from. It's not just about, that's all you want to do is complain. No, man, this fan base, this is in their bloodstreams. These teams are in their, it's in their veins, man. It's what they get up. It's part of their daily lives.
Well, we heard from the guy the other day who said his mom passed away and instructed them, I want to be buried in my Eagles shirt and my Eagles necklace and with an Eagles hat in there and this memento from this game. That's like...
You ain't getting that in Miami.
No.
You ain't getting that in Los Angeles. Yep. Right? Like, you're not getting that in Dallas.
No.
You're not getting that in, you know, Houston or, you know, you may get it in Chicago. But man, this, and I think players that come here, like Saquon, and Saquon played in New York. I guarantee you, Saquon has a different appreciation for Eagles fans now.
Oh, absolutely.
Having played in front of them. Now, he was on the other side of it, catching it every time he came down here. But I guarantee you he has a different appreciation for this fan base.
Yeah, and they're not with football, and certainly not with the Giants. Those fans up there are not the same way that we are here. They care. I would say Jets fans are more similar to us than Giants fans are. Jets fans are just... are like the version of us where it never got good. Right. You know what I mean? They're just, imagine if we
never were good. Yeah. Yes.
I want you to sit right now and imagine if the Eagles didn't make the playoffs for 13 straight years. 13. Imagine what we would be like if we didn't make the playoffs. Oh, by the way, take away these two the Super Bowls we had in the middle.
We missed the playoffs two straight years? When's the last time that happened? I felt like we would have melted just missing the playoffs two straight years.
Was it the last 2 years of Andy? Because we had the 8-8
year. You know what it was, the last two, yep.
We had the 8-8 year, and then his last year, they were 4-12, right? So it had to be then.
Oh, you know what? It was Chip's last year and Doug's first year.
Oh, there you go.
Chip's last year, Doug's first year.
You're right. And the last 2 years of Andy.
That was three straight years, no playoffs. Because Chip's final 2 years, he didn't make the playoffs. He was 10-6 the second year, but we didn't get in.
Isn't it crazy to think Chip was here 3 years?
Yeah.
It doesn't seem like he was here 3 years. It seems like he was here 6 months.
Or 6 years.
Yeah, I guess it depends on who you talk to. Coming up next, we'll get to your calls, 215-592-9494, and the top five at five. Well, the top five at five is usually handled by Jack Fritz. Mm-hmm. Jack is out. We do have an artificial intelligence version of Jack we've created. It thinks on its own, but it cannot lie. It is Honest Jack. We had Honest Jack in last time that Jack was on paternity leave, and Honest Jack comes back with the top five. I don't know what it's about. We will talk to Honest Jack and see what it's about. So that is coming up next. This is WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.